Blog Talk Radio.
Just for my soul.
Just for my soul, I need.
And I'm tired of crying all night. Just for my soul.
Just for my soul, I need.
Lord, I need Thee, oh, I need Thee to take away this pain and misery. 'Cause God, I just can't do this by myself. I need a help, Lord. Gave my body and my soul away. So now I come to You just to behold. Heal my soul, Lord.
I need a healing for my soul.
Come on and heal me.
Would
You please be about me, Lord?
I need a healing for my soul.
Radio, November the 4th, 2023. This is Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yokes of bondage. I will bless the Lord at all times, and His praises shall continually to be in my mouth. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. We are taking charge and living life to its fullness. I am your co-host, Evangelist Terry Rogers, and we honor the host on today, Dr. Maria Carey, who is the president and CEO of the Amazing Grace Ministries. And we have an anointed, spirit-filled lesson on today. So let's get right to it. Announcements. Please consider donating to Amazing Grace Ministries, Inc. You can send that donation to P.O. Box 43-8411, Chicago, Illinois, 60643. Thank you to those that have sent in your donations. They are well appreciated. Classes will be postponed until 2024, and we are open to topic suggestions to everyone listening in Radio Land. I decree blessings unto you in this continuing month of 2023. And if you are blessed by this talk show, I need you to express it via text, email, or comment on our lesson page. Text 309-750, email AmazingGraceMinistries@gmail.com. That's capital A, M-A-Z-E-N, G RACEMINISTRIES @gmail.com. And we are on the air at 9 o'clock every Saturday morning, and we have exciting lessons. So please tune in. And if you want to connect to this lesson live, the link is http://tobtira.com/s/122-83543. Let's get into our lesson explained. A glimpse into Revelation. So prepare to hear a word that will captivate your mind. It will change your life. Christ has come that we might have life and have life more abundantly. This word will illuminate your heart, lift you to a greater level in the Lord Jesus Christ. We will take you on a journey in the word that will give you greater peace, greater hope, and closer to Jesus as we set the pace for victory. We are fighting the good fight of faith and using our spiritual weapons. The theme for this month of November is, we are thankful unto God for his goodness. The lesson for the first Saturday in November is, a new heaven and a new Jerusalem. This is part three of a three-part series. Our text is coming from Revelation 20, chapter, the 21st chapter, and the first through the fifth verse. And I'll be reading from the King James Version. And it says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth was passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. He said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. What is new heaven? Heaven is a real place described in the Bible. The word heaven is found 276 times in the New Testament alone. Scripture refers to three heavens. The Apostle Paul was caught up in the third heaven, but he was prohibited from revealing what he experienced there. 2 Corinthians 12:1-9. 2 Corinthians 12:1-9, I'm going to read from the King James Version. It says, and it is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I have come to vision and revelation of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I will desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I shall say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, if a third heaven exists, there must also be two other heavens. It's most frequently referred to in the Old Testament as the sky or the firmament. This is the heaven that contains clouds, the area that birds fly through. The second heaven is interstellar outer space, which is the abode of the stars, planets, and other celestial objects, Genesis 1:14-18. Genesis 1, 14 through 18, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. It says, "Then God, let there be light in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. 15, and let them be for light in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. 16, then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. 17, God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. 18, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. The third heaven, the location of which is not revealed, is the dwelling place of God. Jesus promised to prepare a place for true Christians in heaven. John 14 and 2 says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Heaven is also the destination of Old Testament saints who died trusting God's promise of the Redeemer. Ephesians 4 and 8, this is the King James Version. It says, "Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Whoever believes in Christ shall never perish but have eternal life." John 3 and 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." The Apostle John was privileged to see and report on the heavenly city. That's Revelation 21, 10 through 27. John witnessed the heaven, this is the new earth, possessed the glory of God, Revelation 21 and 11, the very presence of God. The city is filled with the brilliance of costly stones and crystal clear jasper. Revelations 21 and 11 says, "Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal." Because heaven has no light, and the Lord himself is the light, the sun and moon are no longer needed. Revelations 22 and 5. Revelation 22 and 5 says, "There will be no light there, no need for lamps or sun, for the Lord God will shine on them, and they will reign forever and ever." Heaven has 12 gates and 12 foundations. Revelation 21, 12 through 14, and this is the New Living Translation. "The city wall was broad and high, with 12 gates guarded by 12 angels, and the names of the 12 tribes of Israel was written on the gates. There were three gates on each side, east, north, south, and west. The wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were written the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The paradise of the Garden of Eden is restored. The river of the water of life flows freely, and the tree of life is available once again, yielding fruit monthly with leaves that heals the nation." Revelations 22, 1 through 2. However eloquent John was in his description of heaven, the reality of heaven is beyond the ability of finite man to describe. 1 Corinthians 2 and 9. 1 Corinthians 2 and 9 says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." Heaven is a place of no mores. Thank you, Lord. There will be no more tears, no more pain, and no more sorrow. Revelation 21 and 4. There will be no more separation because death will be conquered. Revelations 20 and 6. The best thing about heaven is the presence of our Lord and Savior. 1 John 3 and 2. We will be face to face with the Lamb of God, who loved us and sacrificed himself so that we can enjoy his presence in heaven for eternity. What is the New Jerusalem? The New Jerusalem, which is also called the Tabernacle of God, the Holy City, the City of God, the Celestial City, the City Four Square, and Heavenly Jerusalem, is heaven on earth. It is referred to in the Bible in several places, Galatians 4 and 26, Hebrews 11 and 10, 12, 22 and 24, and 13 and 14, but it is most fully described in Revelation 21. In Revelation 21, the recorded history of man is at its end. All of the ages have come and gone. Christ has gathered his church in the rapture, 1 Thessalonians 4:15 through 17. The tribulation has passed, Revelation 6:18. The battle of Armageddon has been fought and won by our Lord Jesus Christ, Revelation 19:17 through 21. Satan has been chained for the thousand-year reign of Christ on earth, Revelations 21 through 3. A new glorious temple has been established in Jerusalem, Ezekiel 40:48. The final rebellion against God has been squashed, and Satan has received his just punishment, an eternity in the lake of fire, Revelation 20:7 through 10. The great white throne judgment has taken place, and mankind has been judged, Revelation 20:11 through 15. In Revelations 21 and 1, God does a complete makeover of heaven and earth, Isaiah 65 and 17, 2 Peter 3:12 through 13. Isaiah 65 and 17, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. It reads, "Look, I am creating new heavens and a new earth, and no one will ever think about the old ones again." 2 Peter 3, 12 through 13, "Looking forward to the day of God and hurrying it along. On that day, he will set the heavens on fire, and the elements will melt away in the flame. But we are looking forward to the new heaven and the new earth as he promised, a world filled with God's righteousness." The new heaven and the new earth are what some call the eternal state and will be where righteousness dwells, 2 Peter 3 and 13. After the recreation, God reveals the new Jerusalem. John sees a glimpse of it in his vision. The holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband, Revelation 21 and 2. This is the city that Abraham looked for in faith, Hebrews 11 and 10. It is the place where God will dwell with his people forever, Revelation 21 and 3. Inhabitants of this celestial city will have all tears wiped away, Revelation 21 and 4. The new Jerusalem will be fantastically huge. John records that the city is 1,400 miles long, and it is as wide and as high as it is long, the new Jerusalem being equal in length, width, and depth, Revelation 21, 15 through 17. The city will be dazzling in every way. It is lighted by the glory of God, verse 23. Its 12 foundations bearing the names of the 12 apostles as decorated with every kind of precious stone. That's verse 19. It was 12 gates, each a single pearl, bearing the names of the 12 tribes of Israel, verses 12 and 21. The street will be made of pure gold, verse 21. The new Jerusalem will be a place of unimagined blessing. The curse of the old earth will be gone, Revelation 22 and 3. In the city are the trees of life, for the healings of the nations, and the rivers of life, verses 1 and 2. It is the place that Paul spoke of. In the coming ages, God might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2 and 7. The New Jerusalem is the ultimate fulfillment of all God's promises. The New Jerusalem is God's goodness made fully manifest. Who are the residents of New Jerusalem? Father and the Lamb are there, Revelations 21 and 22. Angels are at the gate, verse 12. But the city will be filled with God's redeemed children. The New Jerusalem is the righteous counter to the evil Babylon, Revelation 17. Destroyed by God's judgment, Revelation 18. The wicked had their city, and God has his. To which city do you belong? Babylon the Great or the New Jerusalem? If you believe that Jesus, the Son of God, died and rose again and have asked God to save you by his grace, then you are a citizen of the New Jerusalem. God raised you up with Christ and seated you with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2:6. You have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. 1 Peter 1:4. If you have not yet trusted Christ as your Savior, urge you to receive him. The invitation is extended. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears says, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. Revelations 22:17. In conclusion, looking at the state of the world as we're living in now, how the Antichrist is being organized and how government officials are beginning to become dictators, not looking at the needs of the people, but gratifying their own needs. In the last class, we discussed what the glorified body will possibly to look like. The Bible does not describe in detail what the glorified body will look like in heaven, but we just know that we are going to be like Jesus in a resurrected body. Our human bodies will no longer exist. They are perishable, dishonorable, and weak due to sin. Our glorified bodies will be imperishable, will be honorable and powerful. Our new bodies will no longer be natural bodies subject to decay and death. We will live in victory over sin and death because Christ has won that for us. 1 Corinthians 15:42-55, and it explains the process so well. Our resurrected bodies will be like Jesus, post-resurrection appearance. Jesus still had visible wounds, and his disciples could physically touch him. Yet he was able to travel effortlessly and appear and disappear at will. He could go through walls and doors, yet could also eat and drink and sit and talk. Scriptures informed us that our lowly bodies will be just like his glorious body. Philippians 3:21, and I'll be reading from the Living Translation, and it reads, he will take our weak mortal body and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. Lastly, chapters 21 and 22 in Revelation provides us with a glimpse of the praise party. The praises of the believers and our worship around the throne. Revelation states that there will be a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem. This new Jerusalem will sit on the foundation of precious stones and is going to dangle out of heaven that is going to be a marvelous sight to see. In addition, there will be no need for the sun or moon because Jesus Christ and God the Father will provide that for us in their presence. What a time, what a time, what a time that's going to be. Let's pray. Lord God, in Jesus' name, we come humbly before your throne of grace. Hallelujah. Lord God, before we begin to ask you for anything, just allow us to thank you for everything. Lord God, we thank you for who you are. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the beginning and the ending, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the everlasting Father, and we come this morning to say thank you. Lord God, we come to give you honor. We come to give you praise, and we come to give you the glory because our hallelujah belongs to you, God. Now, God, I just ask you, Lord God, to forgive us. Forgive us for any sins we have committed, God, knowingly and unknowingly, Lord God. And then forgive us for our slothfulness, Lord God. Help us to come up to where we need to be, God. Hallelujah. And then, Lord God, look on our leaders everywhere, Lord God. Look on the world leaders, Lord God. Hallelujah. Then, Lord God, go and look on my leaders today, Lord God. The administrative assistant superintendent, Dr. Byron Gibbs and his lady Gibbs, Lord God. Look on my assistant pastor, Elder Reginald Johnson and Evangelist Johnson, God. Then, Lord God, look on the mothers, Lord God. Look on Mother Garnett this morning, God. Mother Luckett, Lord God. Look on Mother Esther Moore today, God. Hallelujah. You know what they need, God. Touch their bodies, God. Touch them from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet, God. And then, God, go look on Mother Carey today, Lord God. Look on Dr. Carey, God. Hallelujah. Look on Mother Norman, Lord God, as she goes for surgery on Monday, God. Be with her, Lord God. Comfort her heart, God. Hallelujah. You know what she needs, God. Give her the peace that she needs, God, so that she can go in and come back according to your will, God. And then, Lord God, look on Sister Christine down in Texas, Lord God. Sister Martin down in Texas, God. Go over to Iowa and look on Devin today, God. Oh, God, look on Tanelle today, Lord God. Hallelujah. Save the young people on today, God. You know what they need, God. Look on Mother Maxine and Mother Florida today, Lord God. And then, Lord God, look on Lady and Elder Shelton today, God. Hallelujah. You know what they need, God. Do it for them, God. Meet the need, God. Look on the ministerial staff, God. Look on Dad Rogers this morning, God. Touch his body. Continue to give him the strength that he need, God. Hallelujah. Encourage his heart. Look on Dad Ellis this morning, God. Oh, God, you know what they need, God. Valor men of God, Lord. You know what they need, God. Give them the strength that they need, God. Look on the doorkeepers, the ushers, God. Hallelujah. Look on David this morning, Lord God. Hallelujah. Wherever he is, God, look on him, God. Give them strength, God. And then, Lord God, look on all our children, our grandchildren, God. Keep them, Lord God, when they go out to school, God. And then, Lord God, we're just going to give you all the glory, all the honor, and the praise. And, Lord God, look on those that said, pray for me, God. And I may have forgotten their names, but you know exactly those who said, call my name, God. And if I've forgotten their names on this morning, God, you go and look on them, God, and touch them in a special way, Lord God. You know what they need, God. Oh, God, look on the Skinner family today, God. You know what they need, God. Comfort the hearts and meet the needs, God. And then, Lord God, we're giving you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio this morning, where your host is Dr. Maria Terry, who is the president and CEO of the Amazing Grace Ministries. And your host on today was your co-host, Evangelist Terry Rogers. Tune in next week. Dr. Carey will be back 9 o'clock next week. Enjoy your day. Have a wonderful and marvelous day on purpose. And remember, God is still in control.